This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Welcome everyone inshallah. In the next few days that we have together from now until Thursday, we're going to spend no more than 20 minutes. I know all of you guys have work and stuff, so I've structured it in a way that within 20 minutes or 25, if there's question answers, we should be done inshallah. The next 4 days is going to be focused on a topic that we usually, the guys at the back, if you guys can just, if you want to socialize, you're more than free to socialize outside. Jazakallah khair. So usually we always talk about Ramadan prep, and if you look at all the topics or all the discussions that happen around Ramadan prep, preparing for Ramadan, it's always to do with fiqh of fasting. But every ibadah of ours, every worship of ours is a lot more than just fiqh. Every ibadah, everything that Allah has asked us to do, fiqh is to ensure that you are technically okay. The technicality of your salah, your qira'ah, your everything does not equate the acceptance in the eyes of Allah and the ajr you get. So you can have somebody, two people, pray the exact same salah, technically correct, but one may be way higher in ajr than the other. The fiqh element just makes sure that you've got the MPL, minimum performance level. That's the minimum that you need to do to make sure that your salah checkbox is ticked off in the eyes of Allah. He prayed, he fasted, he did umrah, he did all of that. So this particular discussion is going to be on the spiritual dimensions of fasting. The book that we're going to read from, inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, that we'll read the entire book together. And that's going to be my style. My style is that we go back to classical texts of ulama and we read them together. Obviously, most of them are in Arabic. Those of you that are Arabs, you're going to enjoy it. And I will translate it right when we're reading together so we all can benefit from it. And we try to extrapolate from the ilm and the knowledge of the Salaf, as-Salihin. This scholar passed away in 1230. His name is Jamaluddin Muhammad ibn Hussein ibn Ibrahim al-Islafi. Jazakallah khair. And basically what happened was, a lot of people came to him. This is 1230. So you're, what are we in now? 1437, 37, 38. He had to double check himself. He's like, I don't know, 37, 38. Right? So roughly 200 years, right? 1430, so roughly 200 years ago. So a lot of people came to him and they complained to him. They said, we don't feel any spirituality anymore. Okay? We don't feel any connection with our salah. So he wrote this book. It is called مصطور الإفادة بما يعين على حضور في العبادة. The encapsulated few lines that empower us to be mindful in our worship. So the entire book is written about mindfulness in salah, in ibadah. This portion of it is all salah. This is the rest of it. So that tells you how much essence and, you know, focus is on salah. So inshallah, we'll read this together. Today we're going to read from the kitab of Min Kitab al-Sawm, from the chapter of Sawm. The author, he begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bihi nasta'in, wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqin, wa la udwana illa al-zalimin. اللهم اغفر لنا جميعا واللهم اغفر المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى. قال المؤلف رحمه الله قوله الفصل في إسرار الصوم وشروطه الباطنة. Chapter in the secrets of fasting and its conditions that are subtle and secret. اعلم, know, أن للصوم ثلاث درجات. Know that fasting, a person that fasts, they're going to be of three levels. صوم العموم, the fasting of an average person. صوم الخصوص, the fasting of those who are VIPs in the eyes of Allah. وَصَوْمُ خُصُوصِ الْخُصُوصِ and the fasting of those who are VVIPs. May Allah make us from those. أَمَّا صَوْمُ الْأُمُومِ as for the fasting of an average person, فَهُوَ كَفُّ الْبَطْنِ وَالْفَرْجِ عَنْ قَضَاءِ الشَّهَوَاتِ كَمَا سَبَقَ تَفْصِيلُهُ. All you need to do is protect your batn, your stomach, and your private part from your desires. All you need to do is protect your, you know, don't fulfill the desires of your stomach and your private parts. Your fast technically is correct. Right? Technically, it's okay. وَأَمَّا صَوْمُ الْخُصُوصِ and as for the fasting of the VIPs, فَهُوَ كَفُّ السَّمْعِ then it is to prevent your ears, وَالْبَصَرِ and to prevent your eyes, وَالْلِسَانِ and to prevent your tongue, وَالْيَدِ and to prevent your hands, وَالْرِجْلِ to prevent your legs, وَسَائِرِ الْجَوَارِحِ عَنِ الْآثَامِ and the rest of your limbs and entire body, you prevent them from any sin. You're very mindful of that you're not going to sin. وَأَمَّا صَوْمُ الْخُصُوصِ الْخُصُوصِ and as for the VVIP fasts, فَصَوْمُ الْقَلْبِ عَنِ الْهِمَمِ الدَّنِيَّةِ وَأَفْكَارِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ they fast, and their fast is the fast of the heart. And the heart never gets attracted towards low-level discussions and low-level desires. Neither is it attracted towards afkar ad-dunyawiyya, about dunya and how to think about dunya, how can I move from this existing house of mine into a closed community, how can I go within the closed community from one house to the corner lot so I can get a bigger backyard and a bigger lot and I can expand my house, afkar ad-dunyawiyya. How can I move from this car to the next car, all of these things. So during fast, they're very conscious of that. They try their best not to allow those things to impact their minds while they're fasting. وَكَفُّهُ عَنْ سِوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلٍ the only thing they allow their heart to be filled with is Allah. May Allah make this from us. Everything else that is low level and dunya related does not have any permission to enter the heart. Other than Allah. Allah occupies their heart. وَكَفُّهُ عَنْ سِوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلٍ بِالْكُلِّيِّهِ that other than Allah, everybody else is exited from their heart. Only Allah remains. وَيُحْصَلُ الْفِطْرُ فِي هَذَا الصَّوْمِ بِالْفِكْرِ this type of people who fast, how do they break their fast? Yes, technically they'll take a date. But now they can open the floodgates of thought, right? So they've opened the fast. They're going to allow their thoughts to open up because they were controlling it while they were fasting. So what do? All they think of, if it's anything other than Allah, they're going to think about, then it is going to be Yawmul Akhirah. So after they break the fast, their constant thought is Akhirah. They're thinking about Akhirah, 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 Akhirah. Not pakora, not samosa. Right? Before iftar, what are we thinking? Pata nahi kya milega, keema ka ya aloo ka pakora. Right? We're thinking all of these things. But for their mindset, they're thinking, wallahi, I don't know what type of pakora. Wasif, uncle did not like the joke. He's upset on this joke. Right? So you don't know, right? Our thoughts. But for these people who are the VVIPs, it's either Allah or Yawm al-Akhirah. These are the only two thoughts they have throughout the month of Ramadan. That's a very hard thing to do. And he understands this, right? So he says, وَهَذِهِ رُتْبَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ this is usually the prophets. You and I can't achieve that. So he brings us down. وَرُتْبَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالْمُقَرَّبِينَ and it could be a few people who are truly siddiqeen, i.e. they are congruent. Whatever they believe in and whatever they portray is one. Siddiq. There is no confusion. There is no displacement of realities of innate and external. Okay? Then he says, وَلَا نَطُولُ النَّظْرَ فِي في تفصيل قول. We're not going to increase and expand all of this because it's hard for us to achieve. Let's go to the VIP section. Right? He says, let's at least start with it. وَأَمَّا صَوْمُ الْخُصُوصِ And as for the fasting of the VIPs, which is an achievable goal for us. وَهُوَ صَوْمُ الصَّالِحِينَ This type of fasting is the fasting of the pious people. صَوْمُ الصَّالِحِينَ فَهُوَ كَفُّ الْجَوَارِحِ عَنِ الْآثَامِ You remove all of your, look at all of your limbs and you stay away from your sins. But there are six things that we have to be explicitly conscious about. And those are the things that we're going to study together, inshallah. Today we'll probably have time for just one. وَأَمَّا صَوْمُ So he said, الأول, the first one, غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ Lowering our gaze. As we move towards warmer climates, the clothes start shrinking. Right? That's where our eyesights are tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go out, I mean the other day I was in Georgia Tech, I feel so, it's a big fitna for even young people who are not married to be in, even in that environment. Right? You look around, غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ You have to look down. You're going to have to look down. What does he say? وَكَفُّهُ عَنِ الْإِتِّسَاعِ فِي النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ كُلِّ مَا يُذَمُّ وَيُكْرَهُ And the first step of that is not to look at, he's like, forget seeing haram things. He said, if you want to become from the VIPs, then you need to stay away from those things that are blameworthy and disliked. If somebody sees you watch doing that, it will not be very appropriate. For example, somebody is fasting and they're sitting in a masjid and watching Netflix. They might be watching something absolutely halal, they're not watching anything haram. But that act is makruh, it's disliked. You're in a masjid, you maybe have headphones on. But if somebody comes and they, so you prevent your eyes for even looking at that which could be possibly makruh or blameworthy. You stay away from that. So that you may not enter into haram. So when you become conscious of the lesser of the evils, right? You become conscious of makruhat, you don't fall into haram. Now what happens? We are so far into haram that haram doesn't even feel haram to us. Right? There's a recent stat which showed that 88% of the people who are exposed to pornography, right, are exposed to pornography unsolicited, i.e. they were not searching for pornography. It just showed up. They were searching for something else, but those guys who are running this billions and billions of dollars of industry, right, they have so much money to throw. It's unbelievable how much content that exists there. On a single day, on a daily basis, more videos of pornography are uploaded on the internet than the entire collection of videos available on YouTube on a daily basis. Okay, so that world out there, this device out there is a portal to your utter destruction in the month of Ramadan if you're not careful enough. You're not careful about it. One and it's gone. Your fast is gone. Spiritually, it's taken away. Then he says, وَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ مَا يُشْغَلُ الْقَلْبُ وَيُلْهِهِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ That's the haram element. You also need to take care of your eyesight with everything that will distract you from Allah. Any type of TV shows. Yeah, sure, Shaykh, this is all halal. Fine, but it's a distraction. It's distracting you from dhikr of Allah. It is distracting you from remembering Allah. It is distracting you from being conscious. It's just a distraction. So we do not use our eyes for anything that could be a distraction or that could distract us from that. That could distract us from the dhikr of Allah. وَيُلْهِ أَيُشْغِلُ الْقَلْبِ It occupies my heart. وَيُلْهِهِ And it distracts it عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ From the remembrance of Allah. عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Allah subhanahu wa Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, النَّظْرَةُ سَهْمٌ مَسْمُومٌ مِنْ سِهَامِ الْإِبْلِيسِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, in the authentic narration, he says, An-nadratu, if you look at like one glimpse at something haram. Over here, An-nadratu, a glimpse at something haram. Sahmun masmumun min iblis. It's an arrow that is poisonous to your eyes from iblis. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا. You try to stay away from that first glance even. You're conscious that I don't want to even accidentally look at haram. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا خَوْفًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلٍ. Why are you running away and you're closing, protecting your eyes? Because you really have the khawf and the fear and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ. Allah will give that person iman. Allah will give him iman, but not any iman. This is a special type of iman. We all have this iman. We ask Allah that Allah grants us this type of iman. Right? Iman yajidu halawatahu fi qalbi. You will taste the sweetness of that iman in your heart. You will feel it. Like Allahu Akbar. You know, Dr. Ghulam Murtaza, he was a very famous scholar of Pakistan. Those of you that are might be aware of him, you know, he was killed when he was driving on a motorcycle, and he was just, you know, his motorbike was blown. He had a beautiful lecture on YouTube, and a very old video of his, and I was listening to it, and he said something. He said, you know, in Urdu, and I'll translate it for the Arab brothers. He said, Allah ka jo zikr hai aur Allah ka jo iman hai, itni bezaq cheez hai ki hum uska pata hi na chahe. Like, you know, the iman that Allah instills in the heart, it's so tasteless that we're not going to feel it. He said, there's only two net results. Either we are not there yet, and that is the only possibility. Because we know that the iman that Allah, iman, and the, like when somebody tastes the iman from Allah, there's no way you're not going to taste the sweetness of it. Then he says, رواه جابر عن أنس رضي الله عنه. جابر رضي الله عنه, he narrates, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال خمس يفطرن الصائم يفطرن الصائم. Five things break the fast of one who fasts. الكذب, lying. This is talking about the spiritual breaking, not the technical breaking. Okay, everyone has Imam sahab, miswak, toothpaste. We started Zawal on Friday, you'll get all of that. This is a more important discussion. Jhoot, ghibat, chugli, all of these things, you know, lying, backbiting, gossip, all of these things, they are far more scary for your iman than toothpaste. Okay. Al-kadhib, wal-ghiba, backbiting, wal-namima, gossip, wal-yameen al-kadhib, taking an oath knowing that you are lying. May Allah protect us from that. وَالنَّظْرُ بِالشَّهْوَةِ. And to look at a woman, or a woman looks at a man while their heart is filled with desire. So you had the shahwa, and you look at them and you fulfill your shahwa to another. So that's the first part. That's the first key. And this is something very important, because as we live through these societies and the place where we're going through, there's a lot of questions come. To what extent can you look at? Right? So if you're going to a bank teller, right? You're going to be like, give me $1,000. Look at me, right? So looking at a woman's face, you know, especially living in the society over here, as long as you're looking at the face, not other parts of that woman, is not considered haram by majority of the scholars. There is an ikhtilaf on that, again, that exists, but most of the scholars, especially us living in North America. Now, if you can avoid that, for example, you can look at her, ask your request, and then look somewhere else, not making her feel awkward, right? The same thing with the sisters. If you have to look, you look, you know, look at them once and then look somewhere else, right? One of the other tricks is to look at the shoulder, and it almost feels like you're looking at them, but you're not actually looking at them, right? But again, you also have to be careful nowadays, right? Summertime, you can't even look at the shoulder, right? That's like they're not wearing anything, right? So that's a problem, but that conscious awareness is what is required, what he's trying to say. that what you see with your eyes is going to have a direct impact on the quality of your fast. And the discussions that we need to have moving forward has to be on the state of our hearts. Right? Every single one of us, the day we leave, the day we die, none of the masjid, nobody from the masjid is going to be there helping us in the grave. None of our friends are going to be there. Nobody. You all are going to have to stand in front of. And the first thing is going to be the state of your heart. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed in your jasad there is a mudgha, there's a piece of cloth, there's a piece of flesh. If that is rectified, the entire body is rectified. And if that is corrupted, fasadat al-jasad kullu, the entire body is corrupted. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, it is the heart. Not the physical heart, the spiritual heart. The spiritual heart. On that, we just recently found out that any event that takes place in our lives, this is something from science and, you know, should allow us to understand why Allah focuses so much on the heart. We did not believe or knew that the heart, our physical heart, had the ability to store information. But recently they found in research that there are certain types of neurons that are found in our brains that store memory. They've actually found that there are 70,000 of those neurons that are also found in our heart. So any event that takes place, it is registered in our brain and is also registered in our heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been using heart from day one. He says, dil ki aqal. Right? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder upon the Qur'an? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or is it that their hearts are locked up? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts through which they do not reason with. People used to say, how can a heart reason? But today with science, we know that the hearts have the exact same neurons that are found in our brains to register those events. So our discussions, whether it is going to be of this or whether our series in Ramadan, is going to be all focused on elevating our spiritual state. Because if we do not fix that, all other discussions are of side discussions. Right? There were a few people that are like, oh, are you going to fix this? Are you going to fix this? I'm like, I'm not here to fix anything. I'm here to fix myself and in the process help you all journey, because this is more beneficial to me than anyone else. And since I'm going to be reading it, let's read it together and we all benefit together. Right? And every person has to stand on their own, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. One other request for tomorrow, just in the sequence of time. So if we can start the class right after, because this is ilm, this is knowledge that helps you in your fariḍah, that helps you in your obligation. Okay, fasting is fadl. So any knowledge that enables us and helps us in our obligation takes precedence over sunnah. Because it is ilm that will help you to your knowledge. So when two are together, then the knowledge takes precedence. And then after that, we can all pray sunnah. And hopefully, I think your sunnahs are going to be much more better after the dars than before. Because we all have listened to some ayat and some words of Allah that will elevate our status. And in our iman, and then afterwards we can quietly pray our sunnahs inshallah from tomorrow. Jazakallah khair, inshallah, barakallahu feekum. One other request: when you guys go home, every single one of you knows a person that is not here. Okay? It's an obligation on you to make sure that your friend, your relative, is also prepared for their obligations of Ramadan. Okay? So that's your obligation as a friend. As a husband, as a brother, that you make sure that your cousin, your relative, somebody that you know is not here, and they are not prepared for their obligations, that you help them prepare for their obligations. Okay? So if you could go and tag along somebody, bring along someone, give a ride to somebody, because collectively we can grow and help one another, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.